In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. He laid down his life for you and me, and he took it up again. No one took his life from him. He laid it down, and he took it up in the power of the resurrection. And he is the shepherd searching for the lost. I have come to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus always comes to seek and save that which was lost. If you're lost today, the Good Shepherd wants you to be his today. But that's up to you, that you give yourself to the Good Shepherd. And you say, how do I do that? Well, here I am, Lord. I'm lost. I want to be found. The best thing about being lost is being found. Oh, Jesus, find me. Find me and give me your life. Give me your Holy Spirit. Save me. There is no other name under heaven by which we are to be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That name is the name above all names. It is God's Son, the eternal Son of the Father, who was eternally begotten of the Father. And Jesus Christ wants to do something for you today. I'm looking at Acts 17, verse 10. And the brethren, those are the Christians, immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night. Why? Because they were not treated well in Thessalonica. And they went to Berea, who coming there went into the synagogue of the Jews. Again, the salvation is to the Jew first and then to the pagan. So Paul always goes to the synagogue first. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, what scriptures would they have searched? Well, I have a couple of them right now that I want to speak to you about. Of course, one of them would be Isaiah 53. And I'm going to look at that one right now. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness when we shall see him. There is no beauty that should desire him. Why? He was whipped. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We hid our faces from him. I had a vision of the crucified Jesus, and they were all flies upon him. I hid my face from him. I couldn't deal with it. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. They were searching the scriptures. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, turning every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, the sin of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought like a lamb to the slaughter, like a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and shall declare the generation, for he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. This would be one of the scriptures that they would look at. This Isaiah 53, another one would be the 49th chapter of Isaiah. I won't read that one. But another scripture that they might be looking at is an interesting one. It's the one that we hear on Good Friday. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the day, but you do not hear me. And in night I cry, and I am not silent. But you are holy, you that inhabit the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried unto you, and you delivered them. And they trusted in you, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. They that see me laugh at me in scorn. They shoot out their lips. They shake up their head. He trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But you are he that took me out of the womb. You didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and as a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted and in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. These two scriptures would show the people that Jesus gave his life for the people of Israel and for the world. And these, they said, they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so, what things, that Christ died and was raised from the dead. Therefore, many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. In other words, there were quite a few men and women who believed. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there still, preaching the word of God. And they that conducted Paul brought him into Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. So Silas and Timothy are going to go to Athens. Now, Athens is very interesting for Paul. This is a very interesting scripture. If Paul failed, it would be in Athens that he failed. We're going to look at that now, the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them, who? Silas and Timothy, at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. He was disgusted. He was disgusted. His spirit stirred in him that the whole city was given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, again to the Jew first salvation, and then to the Greeks, and with the devout persons in the marketplace daily, and he met with them. When certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered Paul, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some seemed to be a set forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. You should be saying something's missing. Something's missing. He preached the resurrection. He did not preach the cross. I tell you, well, we'll talk about that a little later, that the cross was not preached. Why? Because these were philosophers, and I think Paul wanted to impress them with the power of the resurrection. but the cross, which is the wisdom of God, was not preached. It's still today the wisdom of God. How many people preach the cross? How many people preach the cross of Jesus Christ, which is our salvation? We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Paul preached the resurrection unto them, and they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine that you speak of is, for you bring certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear things that were new." Yeah, it sounds like the people today. We want to hear something new. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's forever new. God, Jesus says, "I make all things new." Jesus Christ is the only name by which we are to be saved. That is new. That's the newness of the gospel. And nothing is new. We must proclaim the cross of Jesus Christ and the power of his blood and the glory of his resurrection. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive in all things that you are very religious." He's really disgusted with them because they have all these false gods all around. "For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar which with the inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you.'" I want to tell you that the resurrected Jesus is the unknown God. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, and he dwells not in temples made with human hands, neither is he worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing that he gives to all life and breath and all things. In other words, God doesn't need anything. God doesn't need my praises. I need to praise God. It builds me up. God doesn't need anything. God is in himself complete, but he desires you if you're lost. He desires you if you're sick. He desires you if you're confused. He desires you. He desires you. This is reality. I'm not talking ragtime, talking reality. "And he hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and he hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, and happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us." Now he's going to quote one of the pagan philosophers. "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is made like gold or silver or stone or graven by art and of man's device. In the times of his ignorance God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent and to who? Believe in the resurrection." Again, the cross is missing. This is the wrong way to present to these philosophers the truth. He just wanted to declare the resurrection. They were all smart. And you know what? Paul was smart too. And he said, "You know, I don't want to talk about the cross right now. But we're going to see him change. We're going to see him change. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like into gold or silver or stone or graven by art in man's devices. In the times of ignorance God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Therefore he hath appointed a day, that which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead." Again, he preaches the resurrected Christ. He omits the cross. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." Yeah, don't hold your breath. And so Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men cleaved unto Paul and believed, among them which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with him. There were not many converts. Why? Because he did not preach the cross. Now, where does Paul go after he is in Athens? After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Let me tell you that Boston is Athens. Oh, yes, we have our minds. We have Harvard, and we have Boston University, and we have Boston College. We have all these great universities, and we are so bright that our people don't even know Jesus. So bright that even in Catholic schools, Catholic colleges, that nothing is known about Jesus, that he is the Lord. When Boston College was founded, it was founded on the rock of our faith, that Christ has died, that he was buried and rose from the dead. You're not going to hear it very often at Boston College. It's a Catholic college. Well, I tell you, just because they have crucifixes on the walls does not make it Catholic. What are they teaching? They're teaching our children everything but to give their life to Jesus. It's wrong. It's wrong. It never will be right. So Paul goes on to Corinth. Very interesting, you know. What happens in Corinth? I'll tell you in a minute. Paul said in Corinth, "I decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified when I came to you." He learned. He learned from his mistake at Athens. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching what? Preaching the cross. For the Jews required signs, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to them that have been called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. And the weakness of God, the cross, is stronger than men. So Paul learned in Athens that he had to continue to preach the cross. I kind of think, you know, he wanted to be liked, like all of us. I want my audience to like me. We all want our audience to like us. But, you know, if it means not preaching the gospel, I'd rather not be liked. Now, I don't like not being liked. I'm going to tell you, I'm no fool. I want to be liked like everybody else. But the point is that if we do not preach the cross, I'm telling you, we are in bad company. The cross is what we need to preach, the burial of Jesus and the resurrection. That is our salvation. And, you know, it's not done very often. It's not done very often. That's just the way it is. But when Paul went to Corinth, he learned that he needed to preach the cross. And he learned from those philosophers that only a few were saved. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla. So we have Priscilla and Aquila. Well, both of them have the same trade as Paul, which are tent makers, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, the same job, he abode with With who? With Aquila and Priscilla, husband and wife. He abode with them and wrought, for by the occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy had come to him from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and tested to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ and is the Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles. But even when he goes to the Gentiles, the first place he stops at are the synagogues. So we see that even Paul wanted to be liked. Even Paul had in himself a spirit at one time not to preach the cross, because he knew that he'd be rejected. And he didn't want to be rejected. And so what happened? He preached the resurrection. Well, I'm all for the resurrection, but it's all in one package: the cross, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And we are to know that this is what God wants us to do, that we preach Christ and Him crucified and raised from the dead. Let me tell you this. I don't know very many people that preach the crucified Lord. I don't know very many people. I know we have big crosses and crucifixes over our altars, and that's wonderful. But how many of us preach the cross, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? That's the gospel. That's the gospel. I remember being in Florida, and I asked the children, I was ministering to the children this day, what is the gospel? And they started to say, yeah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I said, no, those are the Gospels. What is the Gospel? And none of them had the answer. And I said, Christ has died, Christ is buried, and Christ has been raised from the dead. And one young man said, that's the Paschal Mystery. I said, exactly, that's the Gospel. The Paschal Mystery is the Gospel. He fooled me. He knew what it was, but he didn't know it in those words. Paul would go crazy if he heard some of the talks that people give today. I heard Eric yesterday, Father Eric Caden. I heard him yesterday, and he was speaking at the Boston Catholic Mass. And he talked about, we all have a story. That's right. And the story has to do with Jesus Christ. And I just called him on the phone and said, good job, Eric. Keep preaching. Good job, Eric. And yesterday I went to a funeral and Father Matthew preached. It was eloquent. Father Matthew's talk was eloquent. It was excellent. It was beautiful. It was powerful. It was about redemption. And you had to be stupid if you missed it. But you see, everyone doesn't do that. Everyone doesn't do that. Unfortunately, people preach... I don't know what they preach because I don't listen to them, but I do know that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's the Paschal Mystery. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I just want you to know that Jesus just didn't die. He died for you. I want you to know that if you're lost, He wants to find you. I want you to know He's the Good Shepherd, and He's been looking for you for years, and He wants you. And you're the only one that can give yourself to Him. You've been running here and there and everywhere, seeking wisdom and yoga and all these foolish Eastern foolishness. Oh, you say, I'm religious. Yeah. What does that mean, if you're religious? I know that those people in Athens were religious, too. They had gods all over the place. Being religious isn't enough. And another person will say, I'm spiritual. Well, you know what? What does that mean? That can mean I worship light bulbs. I'm spiritual. No, it's not being religious or spiritual. It's being Christian, giving our life to the crucified, risen Lord. It's not being religious or spiritual. I want to be a Christian. I want to grow in the Lord. I want to love the Lord. I want to give my life to the Lord. What's His name? Jesus. And there's salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. And He'll say, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. May Jesus Christ be praised. May He fill you with His Holy Spirit. May you know what it is to be captured by God. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.